on today's Compassion Radio.
5 years ago, I almost died and was on my deathbed for several days. The doctor looked at me and said, you're one step away from a coma, two steps away from dying. And yet God has redeemed that in my life. And I can look back at that horrible incident and say, you know, I'm thankful it happened because God has used it to grow my relationship with Him.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Welcome to the daily radio ministry that demonstrates, day after day, the transforming power of the gospel. Every generation has plenty of skeptics. When it comes to Jesus, there are millions, if not billions. Most stay that way. But every few years, there are a few who make a point of trying to prove the gospel a fraud. Most of those don't like where the evidence leads. A rare few are willing to admit when they're wrong, and a very few are able to put into words what happens when their preconceptions are shattered and God's light invades their lives. Today's guest is definitely one of the latter, and his story is one you may have already read or heard about. And in a bold stroke of faith and genius, that story is about to explode onto movie screens nationwide. Here's Bram to make introductions.
With me right now is Lee Strobel, the author of this month's special premium. It's an excerpt from his great book called The Case for Christ. Now, this premium is called The Case for Easter, and this is going to be a great tool for you to prepare for the Easter season this year. Now, Lee, you got something very special that's going to happen at the beginning of April. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, our motion picture, The Case for Christ, premieres in theaters around the country on April the 7th. It's a story of my journey from atheism to faith. But more than that, it's a marriage story. It's a story of a father and son. It's a story of a case I investigated for the Chicago Tribune where I helped show that police had framed an innocent man for a shooting he didn't commit. And it's a story of a spiritual investigation prompted by my wife's conversion to Christianity that made me as an atheist very angry and prompted me to try to get her out of the faith by disproving the resurrection, only to ultimately discover the evidence is clear and compelling that Jesus not only claimed to be the Son of God, but he backed that up by returning from the dead.
Now, Lee, you managed to compress a year's or more worth of real soul-searching into about a minute and a half there, and it was perfect. You're well-rehearsed at this point. Now, I'm thrilled about the prospect of being able to talk about this being a truly family-oriented redemption story. It wasn't just you discovering something and forcing it on your family. God moved your heart because of the love relationship that your wife and you had developed, and that God was blessing in ways that you did not even understand when she came to know Christ.
Yeah, that's very true, and I think that human aspect is a very important part of the film. It's a personal story. It's a human story. It's not just a documentary on the evidence, for sure.
Yeah. I was really impressed with the quality of the acting. I mean, this movie has taken a real big step up from what you expect from a Christian film. This isn't just a Christian film. This is a life film that happens to involve the most important questions we'll ever ask. And when I saw the preview of it there at NRB this year, I was moved, and not just because I knew it was going to have a great ending, but because of the struggle that still exists, the trials of faith that are still happening, and the way you as a family dealt with it. I can relate to that. I'm in a family, too.
Yeah, you're right. This is a community type of film in the sense that it's about a family. It's about the struggle to come to grips with whether or not Christianity is based on wishful thinking, legends, mythology, or really built on a solid foundation of historical truth, that is, in the resurrection of Jesus. So, you know, I think it's rare that spiritual journeys like this are purely devoted just to the evidence.
Yes.
There's often a lot of other dynamics going on, dynamics involving morality or emotions or psychology. And all those were true in my case. But ultimately, I think the evidence proves persuasive in the end.
Yeah, the evidence leads us to a real faith, but of course, our faith is not in facts, it's in a person. So we're talking about real relationships
right here
and the trust we have with the people that tell us truth. And your wife told you the truth, and you weren't ready to accept it. And that must have been a very hard struggle for a
right
while.
It was. It was the most tumultuous era of our marriage, 2 years during which I was an angry atheist and she was an increasingly committed Christian. Mm. There were a lot of sparks that flew, and the reason is, of course, our worldviews were clashing. Yeah. We had differences on how to raise our children, how to spend our money, how to spend our weekends, and I felt like she was being pulled into a Christian subculture where I wasn't welcome as an atheist. And also, this sounds odd, but in a sense, I was jealous of Jesus, because here was this other man all of a sudden in our marriage, and she's getting emotional support for him. Well, I thought that's what I was supposed to provide.
When you see your wife's eyes light up about somebody else, it's got to be troubling.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So it's hard, I think, sometimes for Christians to understand that. But these are real dynamics that happen in an unequally yoked relationship. Yeah. And it's why the Bible warns us about these things, because it nearly tore our marriage apart.
And in some ways it did. I mean, we see a lot of that on screen. We don't see all of it, of course. You can't put every second of your life up there. But even the moments you were willing to let us inside show us a real rift, a tear that seemed like it was going to be an incurable kind of wound. And yet God used that, like he did through Jesus. The wounds that would heal us became real for you. You realized how much God loved you. Now, when I went to the Case for Easter, this book, I was expecting it to be a little bit drier than your other writing, because it was a kind of a distillation of all of the things that were in the much larger volume, The Case for Christ. But I was kind of surprised at your poetic style and that you're able to dance through this thing and talk about your life at the same time as you're talking about the discoveries you were making about the truth. And this book itself is a lively read, which I was very surprised at and grateful for.
Well, you know, we did that because we wanted to provide a resource that churches could get it in bulk and give it away at Easter, as many churches do. I know that Jonathan Falwell's church up in Virginia just is going to give away 15,000 copies this Easter.
Amen.
Because it's got the gospel in it, it's got the evidence for the resurrection in it, and I weave in my story. At heart, I'm an evangelist. I want to see people come to faith in Jesus. And if we can create a tool that helps people come to grips with who Jesus is and who they are in terms of being sinners who need forgiveness through Christ, then we want to try to help the church to do that.
So if you were giving an example of how it's useful as a tool, and maybe more than just a tool, a way to build relationship, how have you personally used that volume, this Case for Easter, in your own efforts or your own lifestyle of sharing Christ with others?
Oh, man, I buy it every year. I have to buy it for my publisher.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I get a couple of cases of them. And then usually in the month before Easter, what I do is carry them with me in my car. And if I go to a restaurant, I like to leave a big tip, but also a copy of the book.
And both those things are ministry.
Yeah, that's right. It's important to tip well for, you know, just for our witness. Yeah. But, you know, I want to put something in people's hands, too. And that book allows me to do that. In fact, I just got from Amazon 15 copies of the Spanish language edition of The Case for Christ. Because I meet so many Spanish-speaking people down here in Houston, where I live now, that I want to give them something in their native language that will be helpful to them. So I had to buy them at full cost from Amazon to be able to give them away.
Well, friends, we're talking to Lee Strobel, and he's no ivory tower academic here. He's a man who earned the right to be able to say witness for Christ, because he witnessed what Christ did in him, and he gave great words to it. He created a narrative of his own life, which is easily echoed in our own if we'll just take the time to look at what God did in his life. And it's spelled out so well in the words of the books he's written. Now, this Case for Easter, this premium we have this month, is your tool. Maybe to reinforce your own faith, maybe deal with some of the nagging questions you still have about what it means to follow Christ, or wondering if you're a fool for doing that very thing. Lee does a great job at being rational and being compelling, but it's not just about ideas here. It's about faith in people and relationship. And it's building relationships. I really think the movie that's coming out this next month is going to build it up in a big way, because we're going to see a real family struggling with real things on the screen in front of us. And we can't escape that reality that they went through this. This is a real story. So, Lee, I'm very proud of you and your wife, Leslie, for being willing to step up and be that transparent with the world.
Well, thanks. It was difficult because, you know, it shows the ugliness of my life before I was a Christian. I was a narcissist. I was a drunk. I was a hedonist and you know, lived a very self-absorbed and self-destructive lifestyle. Even though I was successful in my career, what people saw was me winning awards for investigative reporting at the Chicago Tribune. What they didn't see was me literally drunk in the snow in an alley on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So, you know, we portray a bit of that in the film, and I'm not proud of my behavior before I was a Christian, but we felt we needed to be honest.
and the amazing story and testimony of Lee Strobel will continue in just a moment right here on Compassion Radio.
March is always a special time of year for us, since we'll soon be celebrating our 73rd anniversary of radio ministry. This month, would you consider blessing us with a special anniversary gift of $25, $50, even $73 or more? Remember, no gift is too small or too large for that matter, and if each of us does just a small part, God can truly multiply these gifts in amazing ways. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com.
I'm not proud of my behavior before I was a Christian, but we felt we needed to be honest.
Yeah. The thing that moved me the most was the unresolved regrets dealing with your father. Those things are portrayed quite compellingly on the screen, and it's not a pretty chapter either. Mm-hmm. What do you say to people who are dealing with the relationships that will never be healed, but they still are compelled to follow Christ?
Yeah, I mean, I can relate to that. You know, if you look at the famous atheists of history, Camus, Sartre, Nietzsche, Freud, Voltaire, Wells, Feuerbach, O'Hare, they all had a father who either abandoned their family when they were young or died when they were young or with whom they had a very difficult relationship. And the implication is, if your earthly father is disappointed or hurt you, you don't want to pursue a heavenly mm-hmm. father, because he's only going to hurt you more. And so I think sometimes we have unresolved issues with our earthly father, and as I did, that never got healed before he died. And it was painful in my life not to have that resolve, but the reality is he died before I came to faith and was not willing to reach out to reconcile our relationship. But, you know, C.S. Lewis said, we can all imagine what the perfect father would be like.
Yes, we can.
You know, imagine that. Don't imagine that our Heavenly Father is just being a magnified version of your earthly father. You know, imagine a perfect father who's loving and gracious and kind and affirming. That is our Heavenly Father, and that's someone we want to have a relationship with.
And someone we want to become like.
Yes.
So as we pursue this faith, and as people are going to be talking about it more over the water cooler this year, what is it like for you now, after all these years of being in the faith, to pursue Him? What is your faith pursuit like now?
Well, you know, I want to continue to grow in my relationship with God. It goes deeper every year that goes by. In fact, 5 years ago, I almost died and was on my deathbed for several days. God healed me in the end, but, you know, at the time, the doctor looked at me and said, you're one step away from a coma, two steps away from dying. So I was very close to death, and yet God has redeemed that in my life, and I can look back at that horrible incident and say, you know, I'm thankful that happened, because God has used it to grow my relationship with Him, to help me go to greater depths in my relationship, which is not by piling on new accomplishments or new identities or new bank accounts or new titles or whatever. It's stripping that away and getting down to the basics of being a child of the Most High, someone adopted by God, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, standing in the presence of our Heavenly Father. That's the essence of our relationship with God, not all this other stuff. And sometimes we just need to strip away all that other stuff till we're standing, just us, clothed in God's righteousness, adopted as His son or adopted as His daughter, relating to Him on that intimate father-child level.
Now, you faced a life-or-death situation. I did myself about 8 years ago. And so it's easy for us to say, well, when you're faced with the ultimate thing, of course you got to make tough decisions. But when you deal with people who feel invincible, people who are the millennials of today that are strong, they're healthy, they're wealthier than we were ever at that age, what do you say to them?
You know, I say that Christianity is not true because it works, but Christianity works because it's true. Mm-hmm. In other words, Christianity, I think, is the very best way to live our life. Why? Because God created us. He has told us the very best way to live. And when we follow Him, we find a sense of fulfillment, satisfaction, and joy that I was never able to find independent of God. You know, when we think about how the Bible says in Galatians that if we follow Jesus closely, He will manifest 9 qualities in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yes, it's a great list.
Yeah, and you look at that and you go, isn't that what we want in life? I mean, aren't those the 9 things we want the most?
Well, we certainly want them from others.
Yeah, yeah. And these things God will manifest in us as we follow him. And who wouldn't want that?
Yeah.
Christianity is not just the only way to die. It's also the best way to live.
Okay. So you're living this out. And of course, you've written so well that we're bringing it to the big screen now. And your friends have said, this is a compelling enough story that we need to let the world see it. And they did a great job in picking the actors to portray you and your wife and all the key people in that transformation. And this, again, is a story of transformation, not just of one person or a family, but of an entire church movement of which you were born alive into and of which
right.
you continue to help build over the past generation. And all of this evangelistic fervor that came from that generation is no small part due to the kind of testimony you've been living out. You have a kind of signpost life in this generation, and we're grateful for that.
Mm. Well, I'm sure grateful.
Now, how are you speaking into the leaders of the future?
I think into the future, we've got to realize that those churches that are growing are those churches that are expressing fidelity to Scripture,
mm-hmm.
those churches that are faithful to the teachings of Jesus, those congregations that are conservative in terms of the theology and yet relevant in the way it's presented to our generation. You know, the gospel doesn't change, but the way in which we present it can change. And that movie
yes, Ken.
Really an example of that. You know, as you said earlier, Christian films have grown. Faith films have gotten better and better and better. Until today, this film is something that we can be proud of and not cringe at or feel is cheesy in any way. Harnessing technology to present the gospel in a fresh way. But we're not going to change the gospel. The gospel is in the film.
Yep.
We talk about John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And that verse forms an equation of what
yes,
it means
does.
To become a child of God. Believe plus receive equals become. And we hope that that becomes a meme and is popularized through this film to help people realize that, you know, we need to believe. Yes, it's important to be in intellectual agreement with the Christian doctrines, but we don't become a child of God till we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, till we receive this free gift of forgiveness and eternal life that he purchased for us on the cross.
I know it's going to be a bumper sticker worthy saying, and it's going to be on T-shirts everywhere pretty soon. And it'll have its moment in the sun as a meme for sure, but it's also an eternal truth that we would accept what we actually
yes.
hear. We got to actually get in our mind and our heart and act on it. And that's what we're trying to do with Compassion yeah. Radio, is get people to act on the faith that is alive in them and to bring those who aren't alive to faith so they can experience this abundant life you've been talking about, all these richness of the fruit of the Spirit becoming alive in you, in your life, and your family. Lee, yeah. thanks for making your story so available to us through this new film. And I'm praying for great success for it because I want to see it stay in the theaters as long as possible, of course.
Well, thanks. And you know, the April 6th event, the day before it premieres, there's a what's called a Fathom event where you see the movie plus live interaction mm. with Leslie and me and the cast live from Chicago. Tickets are available for that. TheCaseForChristMovie.com. You can see it before anybody else by doing that.
Good word and a good advertisement for that. I'm fully behind that. Maybe we can get a chance to see it ourselves in the theater the night before the grand opening.
Yes, that'd be great.
So Lee Strobel of great fame in the Case for Christ publishing empire that it's become. Thank you so much for spending just a little while with us on Compassion Radio.
My pleasure. Glad to be with you. God bless.
What a great conversation today between Bram and our special guest, Lee Strobel. Now, Bram and his wife, Sandy, are going to drop in just a moment with a special closing word, so stay close. Hey, real quick, I want to remind you that Compassion Radio is coming up on our official 73rd anniversary date this weekend. It's actually Saturday. 73 years since the first broadcast of this ministry, which was originally known as the Morning Chapel Hour. That said, would you consider an extra special 73rd anniversary gift above and beyond your usual support? Maybe a gift of $5 or $10 for each year you've listened to the broadcast. Remember, no gift is too small. And if thousands of us join together, there's just no telling how God can multiply what you give in amazing ways. Our phone lines are open, and Paula or Lena would love to take your call at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Don't forget that special word from Bram and Sandy you won't want to miss right after Morning Song.
To be holy. I really have no choice but to voice the truth to the nations, a generation looking for God.
For such a time as this, I was placed upon the earth to hear the voice of God and do His will, whatever it is. For such a time as this, for now the grass is always greener under everybody else's sky.
But right here, for this time and place, you can live a mirror of His mercy, a forgiven image of grace.
For such a time as this, I was placed upon the earth to hear the voice of God and do His will, whatever it is. For such a time as this, for now and all the days He gives, I am here, and I am His. For such a time as this,
can't change what happened till now, but we can change what will be.
Friends, I wanted to bring attention to our special premium offer this month. It's our gift to you for your gift of any size to support the Ministry of Compassion Radio. And this being our anniversary month, we definitely need to see people step up and help us begin that process of planning for great new projects and great new ministry all around the world. So we need you, friends. And this special book called The Case for Easter is a blockbuster in a lot of ways. It's not a hard read. In fact, it's a fairly slim little volume, but it's going to bring a very powerful argument for the power and the reality of the resurrection, especially at a time of year where people are open to discuss these kind of topics.
I'm excited to read this book myself because of our recent trip to Orlando, Florida for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where they showed the movie A Case for Christ, which is the story of Lee Strobel's search for Christ and the reality of who he was, coming to the realization that Jesus Christ was in fact a real person. He died and rose again for him. Watching that film brought about a lot of emotion for me. It was very real and honest. I loved it. I really hope that our listeners will make an effort to go and see this film when it comes out.
And it's going to be talked about a lot in the media in the weeks to come. Now, I've got to say that I've not been a real fan of Christian films over the years, but this film, my friends, is on par with the finest dramas you've seen out of Hollywood ever.
Absolutely.
I'm really stunned about the quality of the acting and of the directing of this film. It is genuine, it is heartfelt, and it's going to make a big impact. Now, this book, again, is an excerpt from the investigation that Lee Strobel did into the reality of the resurrection. And this little pamphlet is going to be something you're going to want to have in hand leading up to Easter.
You're going to want to have this pamphlet in your hands to give out to friends of yours or people that you know that are questioning the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus.
As we prepare for Easter being April 16th this year, we wanted to make sure to get this in your hands in time for the release of the film and for the Easter season coming up. So friends, please, as you support Compassion Radio this month, we'd love to send you a copy of this book by Lee Strobel, The Case for Easter. So order yours today.
Thank you, Bram and Sandy Floria. Reach us by phone by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're always there for you online at CompassionRadio.com. You can give there safe and secure. CompassionRadio.com. And that phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Norman Cher Nelson, and the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.